Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
Well, tonight I have a one-off message. I try to hear from God. I prayed in tongues for a while to hear what God wanted to say for this specific night to the specific people here. And this is the word, this is the title of the message. And it's kind of a prophetic teaching, but this is the word for you tonight. Set a date to celebrate. Set a date to celebrate. And this kind of ties into what I shared Sunday about taste and see. Some people just need to go buy a cake and celebrate. And I talked about the tuxedo cake from Costco, and some precious people actually went and bought me another cake and left it here in my office. So I had some more tuxedo cake this week. So the party has not stopped. I took it home. I asked Heather, should I just leave this, you know, for the staff? She said, no, bring it home. So she's telling the staff members, sorry. Pastor lost enough to buy some tuxedo cake and set a date to celebrate for all the staff here. But anyway, set a date to celebrate. I'll tell you how I've kind of got off onto this topic. It's actually something I've been thinking about for months and have been talking to Heather about for months. But I'll explain what I mean by set a date to celebrate and how I got to this topic. And it's kind of a, God gave me some revelation through the Old Testament. I get a lot of revelation from random Old Testament things. But God was giving me revelation about set times for mourning and how in the Old Testament, and there's some cultures today, even in the U.S. we'll have a set time, you know, to put the flags half-mast. And there's a set time for that. It might be a seven-day period. But even in the Old Testament, there would be a set period for mourning. I was thinking about Jacob when he passed away. And he passed away in Egypt. And the Pharaoh of Egypt made a set period for mourning for Jacob. It was actually 70 days. So for 70 days, the entire nation of Egypt mourned Jacob. That's a major deal. So that you know, only essential workers were able to do things during that 70-day period. He said this is a major thing. And when that period was up, Joseph talked to Pharaoh and said, you know, Jacob, my father asked me to bury him, you know, in his homeland in Canaan. Can I go take him there? And Pharaoh made this big entourage so that Joseph could take Jacob to bury him there in Israel. And he was buried with his grandparents. He was buried in the same cave that Abraham purchased for Sarah. So he was buried with Abraham and Sarah. He was buried with his parents, with Isaac and Rebekah. And he was buried with his wife, Leah. Rachel passed away outside of Bethlehem when she gave birth to Benjamin. So she is her grave is near Bethlehem. But Jacob was buried there after a 70-day mourning period. You know, when Moses passed away, you know, in the wilderness, there was a 30-day period of mourning. So Israel just stopped. They didn't move camp. They just stayed there. They mourned for 30 days. And when that period was up, it said that the time of weeping and mourning was over, and God spoke to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, be strong, courageous, and go into the promised land. You have a purpose. You know, David, after he had sinned, committed adultery with Bathsheba, had Uriah, her husband, killed in war. He was given a word that the child from this adulterous affair would pass away, and he mourned. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't bathe. He wouldn't shave for 7 days. And when the child died, it says that he changed. He ate. He shaved, and he went and worshipped God. So he had a set time where he mourned. But just like there's a set time for mourning, there should be a set time to rejoice. And that's really important that we realize that there might be a period of mourning, there might be something that you've gone through, but you need to have a set time to rejoice. There needs to be a set date to celebrate. Yay! And actually, you get to choose when you want to celebrate. And some people have been in a perpetual state of mourning for something that they've done wrong, something that someone has done wrong to them. Maybe it's a loss. I've met people who've been in a perpetual state of mourning for decades. And that is not a good thing. You need to set a date to celebrate. And really, even if you're like, you need to just set times just to be thankful and to worship God and to praise God. And just say, you know, I don't care what's going on. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's happening with my family, with my job, with the world. I'm going to choose this day to celebrate. This is a day that is holy unto the Lord. I've declared it so, and I'm going to celebrate. So let's go to Psalm 30. And we'll start in verse 1. We'll read the first 5 verses and then skip ahead a little bit. Psalm 30, verse 1. This is my first point tonight. My first point is this: His favor is for life. Say, His favor,
His favor
is for life.
The favor
of God is for life. That means you can choose to celebrate in God's love for you any day that you want. His favor is for life. Let's read this here, Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. So David is saying, I have been through some serious stuff. People have tried to kill me. I've had enemies, but I'm still alive. I'm still standing. And because I'm still standing, I have purpose. When you live in a perpetual state of mourning, you have let the enemy shift your identity from being a victor to a victim. You're actually living in an alternate universe that God does not want you to live in. When you are in a perpetual state of mourning, you do not have purpose. Every living being, every person on the face of the earth has a purpose. But if you are in a constant state of mourning, you are in an alternate universe that God has not created. He does not want you to live in. He does not want you to dwell in. He does not want you to live without a purpose. He has a purpose for you. If you don't know what that purpose is, you can start by praising God. Verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. That's really our highest purpose. You saints, I love that, you saints of His. And give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. I just love these songs where we sing about the name of Jesus. Remember that name. Remember His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. Man, David went through some stuff. He went through some challenges. He went through some difficulties, things that people did to him, scripts that he did himself. But he said his anger is but for a moment. Before you came to Jesus, you were at enmity with God. It's not God's, God does not, He's not out to condemn you. He's not out to harm you. But some people were at enmity with God because you were running, you were turned away from Him. But that was a momentary thing. When you come to Jesus, something changes. You go from being a stranger to being a son and a daughter of God. You go from being an outsider to an insider. You go from being an enemy to an ally. His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life.
Hallelujah.
And because His favor is life, His unmerited favor, the power of God, His unconditional love, because that is for life, there may be weeping for a night. There may be a period of mourning, but joy will come the next day. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in. There is always joy. Say that. There is always joy. His joy comes in the morning. Let's skip to verse 11. It says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You know, just before church during practice, there was one of our greeters, one of our volunteers over here, Cheyenne, was dancing around, and my 2-year-old daughter went up there and started dancing around with her bunny. Ada, there are times where she mourns, where she wails and gnashes her teeth. But it's turned into dancing very quickly. And if it wasn't for the dancing, if it wasn't for the giggles, I don't know what I would do. God doesn't want to see you weep and wail and gnash your teeth all the time. He wants to see you laugh. He wants to see you giggle. He wants to see you shout. He wants to see you dance.
Hallelujah.
You've put off my sackcloth and you clothed me with gladness. Notice this, that God did not put that sackcloth on you. God did not put that mourning on you, but he takes it and he gives you gladness. He clothes you. I love that. He clothes you with gladness. Man, we have an awesome spiritual wardrobe. We have robes of righteousness. We have clothes of gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you. Awake my soul. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. It's a glorious thing to praise God. That gives glory to God when you sing praise to him and you're not silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I love this. His favor is for life. God is not mad at you. If you said yes to Jesus, if you've asked him to be in your heart, if you are a born-again believer, God is not mad at you. You are not at enmity with God. He's not mad at you, and he sees you. It's like he's looking at Jesus. And Jesus had a revelation of how much the Father loved him. And he tried to convey that revelation to everyone that he ministered to. When God sees you as his child. Say this with me. I have favor with God. I have favor with man. I have a good understanding. And I have supernatural increase. You know, that statement might offend some religious people. But man, God loves me so much, I don't care. His love for me, his feelings for me is far greater than some religious nut who gets mad about my clothes of gladness, about my understanding of how much God loves me and how much he wants to bless me. It doesn't even factor into my thinking. And I was thinking, someone might get upset that I'm preaching that just like there's a set period for mourning, there needs to be a set time to celebrate. If you want to stay in that state of mourning forever, that is your choice, but that is not what God wants for you. God has great things in store for you. He wants to trade your mourning for dancing. He wants to take your sackcloth and give you clothes of gladness. Amen. I'm excited. The choir is going to sing on Easter Sunday, and I told them, you can wear whatever colors you want. This is not an all-black Sunday. This is a clothes of gladness Sunday. I know my wife, she always likes to buy a new Easter dress every year, and if she happened to be in the choir, she'd be very upset if I told her that she had to wear black. So I can't preach one thing and do another. I have to honor, you know, what I would want to do myself or for my own family. So we're going to be clothed with gladness. Amen. God has greater things in store for you. This is something that God spoke to me. He has more in store for you than you can even imagine.
Amen.
God has more in store for you than you can even imagine. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, I love what Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Just focus on the love of God. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. God will reveal things to you through his Spirit. Spend time praying in tongues. Spend time in the Spirit. God will reveal things to you. And it's going to blow your mind, some of the things that God will reveal to you. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God's plan for you is better than your plan. You might have plans. I'm a planner. I'm a goal-oriented person. But God has things that are better for you than your own plan.
Yay.
Learn to be flexible. Don't get too attached to your list of expectations. Because you're not expecting enough. God will go way beyond your expectations. Heather found an old journal of mine from 15 years ago wrote down my list of what I wanted in a future wife. God didn't care about my list. And actually, he went way beyond anything that I could have possibly thought, planned, hoped, even imagined. Because God knows you better than you know yourself. Man, learn to appreciate the blessing of a closed door. Some of you pray for what's on your list and you got it and then it didn't work out. But learn to appreciate the blessing of a closed door. Maybe it's a certain job you really, really, really wanted and it didn't work out. God's plan for you is better than your plan. Maybe you really wanted that certain house and it just didn't work out. You got outbid. The loan fell through. I don't know what happened. Maybe you thought that was your dream house. God has something better for you. Maybe you really wanted that relationship to work out and it didn't work out. Don't stay in a perpetual state of mourning. God has something better for you. I remember years ago when I was just a single bachelor pastor, I was dating a girl and broke up on a Sunday, and I had to preach Wednesday. My dad said, your set time to mourn is zero for this one. Get back to work. It's time to celebrate. Maybe your emotions don't feel like it. Maybe you don't understand. Later on, you're going to celebrate that that door was closed. And when you think about that door being closed, you're going to celebrate. And you're going to sing, "Look at what the Lord has done. He shifted my career. He broke off that relationship. He moved me to a better place." Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way." It's okay to plan your way. You probably should. But the Lord directs his steps. Thank God that he directs my steps. His favor is for life. He's not done yet. He is still full of surprises. God has surprises in store for you. Maybe you think you have God figured out. You know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. I know his goodness, his mercy, it follows me, but God is full of surprises, and you're just looking back, oh, you think you have it all figured out. He's just going to smack you with something that's unexpected, something that's far greater than anything you could have imagined. God is the best gift giver, and good gift givers don't stop giving. Husbands who've been married a while, you don't stop giving. Just because you have the deal locked down, it doesn't mean you can just stop going on dates, stop doing nice things for your better half. God is full of surprises. He loves to surprise individuals. He loves to surprise churches. He loves to surprise entire nations. By just doing unusual things, using unusual people, doing unusual. God is still doing miracles and wonders. Wonder. I love that word, wonder. God of wonders. That's talking about surprises. We still serve a God of wonders. God did not stop doing miracles. God did not stop healing people. God did not stop doing wonders. How pathetic it is that there are entire denominations that believe that God no longer does wonders. What a dud relationship. Well, I've been married for 3.5 years now. Just don't. I'm a cessationist. I don't give any more gifts. I don't tell my wife I love her anymore. I don't demonstrate my grace towards her, my love for her. What a terrible relationship. It's garbage. If God stopped being who he is, if he stopped being a God of wonders, a God full of surprises, tell me when. Tell me the date.
Maybe.
It was December 14th, 93 AD. God just said, I'm done. You're on your own. I don't think so. If you're a cessationalist, shut up. Pack your bags and go home. We serve a God of wonders. Jesus is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sent his Holy Spirit. He is full of surprises, and he's not done surprising people yet. 1 Corinthians 1. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, we'll start in verse 26. His favor is for life. God has a purpose for your life, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren. I love that. You see your calling. You have a purpose, brothers and sisters. Not many wise according to the flesh. He's looking at all these people he has met in Corinth. The collective IQ there is not that great. I am Paul. I'm a studied man. I'm a learned man. I met y'all. There aren't many wise according to the flesh there. There are not many mighty. When I look at you, you're just a bunch of hillbilly, redneck people there in Corinth. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but you're called. God, he's chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. That's why he's chosen you. Well, if I were the king of this church for a day, if I were the pastor, this is how I would do it. Well, he chose Pastor Lawson. This church is beyond him. It's beyond me. It's beyond all of us. And if God has called Pastor Lawson to be the pastor, then I don't care how smart I think he is. God's picked him. That's his call.
Amen?
Amen? Doesn't matter if you think you're smarter or think you're richer or think you're wiser or think you're more mighty or think you're more noble. It doesn't really matter. What matters is the call of God. Recognize the call on your life and learn to recognize the call on other people's lives. And it's not, God looks at resumes differently than the way you might look at a resume. He looks at the heart. He's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world and the things which are despised. God, maybe people have despised you. Maybe people have put you down. Maybe people have not valued you. God has chosen you. The things which are not, the things which are zero, God is going to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God wants to get the glory. I am the God of wonders. And I'm going to choose someone who will allow me to work through them, where it's not about them, it's not about their pride, it's not about their ego, it's not about their own glory. It is about me. It is about Jesus. That is why Paul said, it's all about Jesus. I didn't come to you with wise speech. I did not want your faith to be based upon my intellect, based upon my ability, based upon my reason. I wanted it to be based upon the power of God. That's why everything I preach is about Jesus and him crucified, the finished work of Jesus. It's not really about what you can do. It all comes down to the finished work of, it's all about what he can do, what he has done. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. His favor is for life. Set a date to celebrate. Keep looking ahead, my next point. His favor is for life, next point. Keep looking ahead. Learn to understand the times and the seasons God has placed you in. It's immature to try to live like you are in a past season. If it's winter, don't try to live like it's summer. I see kids, when I drop my kid off at school, I see a foot of snow outside and I see kids, sure enough, wearing shorts and sandals. They are unaware of the season they're in. I see grown married men, going home and playing video games 6 hours a night. You are in the wrong season. You should have different priorities, different ways you spend your time. I don't live like I'm a bachelor, because I'm not. I have different responsibilities. Before, when I was a bachelor, I could stay up till midnight, stay up till 1, watch a movie, do whatever I wanted. Now I don't do that. I'm in a different season. Learn to appreciate the things that are in this current season of your life. Don't crave past seasons. Maybe you had some good previous seasons. Maybe you really enjoyed working at that certain job. Maybe you really enjoyed living in that house. Maybe you really enjoyed living in that city. Maybe you really enjoyed going to that previous church where you were before. Learn to appreciate the season that you're in and don't crave. It's okay to look back and remember and thank God for what he's done in the past. But you have to appreciate where you're at. Appreciate the season that you're in right now. Don't crave past seasons. Some of you are empty nesters. Maybe you enjoyed having toddlers. I enjoyed having an infant. I enjoy having a toddler. I enjoyed, when I had a 5-year-old, and I enjoy having a 9-year-old. But it's okay to look back and remember, I found a newborn diaper of Ada's in the back green room. And the thing is tiny. I couldn't believe that she was that small. And I looked back and smiled and thought that was so cute. But I'm not going to, try to force Ada into that newborn diaper. You need to understand the times and the seasons. Don't crave past seasons. Numbers 11. You can turn there really quick. This is really good. Numbers 11, we'll start in verse 4. Keep looking ahead. Numbers 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. This is the children of Israel as they were going through a wilderness season. And because they didn't look ahead, they weren't aware of the season that they were in or the season to come, they succumbed to yielding to an intense craving for a prior season. A prior season that really wasn't that great. They yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt and cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." That is some demonic craving if you are craving garlic so much that you want to go back to a season of bondage, a season of slavery.
Yay!
They yielded to intense craving, an intense craving for garlic. When Heather was pregnant with Ada, she would sometimes have intense cravings for random things. One night, it was like 11:30 at night, and she had an intense craving for a pineapple smoothie from Taco Bell. And her craving for this was so intense. I was already married and locked down, and I could have just said, no, you're not going to yield to this intense craving. No, I was getting clothes on, getting ready to go, and then I thought I better check, you know, Google to see if they're even open, and they were closed. So they were closed. Intense craving for garlic. I can't really imagine such an intense craving for garlic that you would want to go back to slavery, back to a place where you've been enslaved for 400 years. Maybe we were slaves, maybe we lived in shacks, maybe we just made bricks all day to build temples for Pharaoh to worship cats. But the garlic there was so good. Who cares about God? Who cares about this wilderness journey, this wilderness season we're in right now? Some people have turned down God's plan for some really stupid things. I've seen people step right out of an awesome position because they have cravings for some stupid things. Yeah. I don't want to do it Pastor Lawson's way. I want to do it my way. I don't care that he signs my check. I crave just being a free artist. Whee! I'm going to tour the world. Whee! End up touring nothing. I'm preaching good. Remember Lot's wife. Three words Jesus spoke. Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. That could be a sermon on its own. Jesus, in Luke 17, it's a powerful chapter. I'm not going to go through all of it, but people had asked him about the kingdom of God. They're asking about how to understand the times and the seasons concerning the kingdom of God. When is the kingdom of God going to come? People who are asking Jesus who didn't have a clue about the times and the seasons. They were people who, spiritually speaking, were walking around with sandals and shorts on when a blizzard was going on. When is the kingdom going to come? Rabbi, you're looking at it. You keep looking back. You keep doing your own thing. You're not looking at what God is doing. You're not looking at the seasons. You're not looking at what God is doing in the realm of the Spirit. And he said, this happened before. Remember the days of Noah. People were just doing their own thing. And the flood happened. Lot's wife, Sodom and Gomorrah, just doing their own thing. They ignored the warning. They ignored the weather forecasters. Lot's wife should have known. She should have known what was going on. She should have known my plans, my purpose, the times and the seasons. I wanted to deliver her. I wanted to spare her. I wanted to But she kept looking back. She kept craving a previous season. And that season had nothing to do with God. Remember Lot's wife. Be aware of the times and the seasons. And you don't have to know everything. Just keep looking to Jesus. Keep trusting in him. Learn to understand the times and the seasons God has placed you in. And appreciate that season you're in, too. I'm very thankful that I am not the number one guy right now. I thank God almost every day that someone else gets blamed for everything and not me. And if the guy who signs my paycheck says to do it this way, I'm going to do it. Because this is the season that I'm in. Amen? Philippians 3. Turn to Philippians 3. We'll start in verse 12. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to know exactly what's going on, but just God can clue you into the general time, the general season that you're in, and show you what he's doing in that season. And you can thank him and rejoice him and praise him and see purpose in every season. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He said, I'm still in a season where I am growing. That's a growing season is a good season. Right now, I am in a growing season. I love it when people tell me, Pastor Aaron, you're growing. We've seen you grow. That's a tremendous compliment. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. I love that. This is a mark of maturity. To know what season you're in and to know what season God is moving you into, what season he's preparing you for. That's a mark of maturity. Have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Keep looking ahead. Amen? Learn to understand the times and the seasons God has placed you in. Next point. This is what God showed me Sunday. I kind of shared this with you, but you need to taste and see. Whatever season you are in, you need to taste and see. God wants you to experience his goodness each and every day. Taste and see. I love this psalm that comes from, you can turn there, Psalm 34. We'll look at it here in Scripture all together. Psalm 34, starting in verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I always have angels encamped around me. It is always God's plan to protect me and to deliver me. Nothing ever changes that. God does not fire guardian angels over me. He does not say, Aaron has had a bad day, so I'm calling his angels in. He's on his own. He's got to deliver himself. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. No matter what season you're in, God will always deliver you and he will always provide for you. You will not lack any good thing. Just keep trusting God. If it's a good thing, God will take care of it. I did not like going through my relational wilderness of singlehood till I was 31. But towards the end of it, I learned how to just rejoice in that season and to trust God. And he gave me this scripture from Psalm 34, verse 10, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He also gave me Proverbs 18, 22 that says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I wrote that scripture down and just put it on my mirror. God is going to give me a good thing. And about a year later, Heather showed up. And she saw that scripture in my bathroom mirror and she initialed it. she identified as a good thing. And she's a very good thing. And I'm not ever going to forget that. Taste and see. God wants you to taste and see his goodness. He wants you to experience his goodness every day. So you just need to set a date to celebrate. You shouldn't just look like you've been sucking on lemons all the time. I said this Sunday, this woman is no longer here at church, so I have pastoral freedom to, I'm not going to say her name, but I knew this woman for several years, so I don't think I saw her smile a single time in several years. I later found out that all she ever ate was salads. Just buy a cake. Taste and cease. Maybe it... You need to, diets are meant to be broken on occasion. This is a grace church. You just need to, you know, I remember when I was going to school in Pittsburgh, when I was getting my bachelor's, I took a lot of intense classes. I was studying music, studying business, taking a lot of courses. I would always take a full load. And some days were just very stressful. And on very stressful days, I would just go to Chipotle and get a big burrito and just eat that burrito. And I just suddenly felt a lot better about life. There's manna from heaven. Some of you just need to take a break from salads and just every now and then have, you know, we got this tuxedo cake from Costco, and now it's someone else gave us a tuxedo cake because they were ministered to by that word I gave Sunday, and I had a tuxedo cake waiting for me yesterday at my desk. It's manna from heaven. It just keeps manifesting. Remember, Ada, when she had that cake, she just started spinning around and standing up on her toes. And, you know, we're trying to feed her with the fork, but she grabbed that fork. She wanted it herself. She was tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I don't want this revelation from you. I want it myself. I want my own personal revelation of taste and see what's good. And she took that thing and ran off and smeared it on our white couch. But God's merciful. He's gracious. The angel directed her towards the pillow that was removable, the case the pillow could be removed. And I wasn't mad at her. My anger was for a moment, but my favor for Ada is for life. She didn't even get spanked or yelled at or nothing. We just laughed. Oh, did you get mad at her? Maybe. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. Right before church, Heather had this jar of salsa, and she was going to ask me if I wanted any salsa. I think she thought that I left it out, because usually I leave the salsa out because I like salsa with everything. I put salsa on everything. We were having pizza, something quick before church. I was going to put some salsa on my pizza. And she thought I left it out, but it's actually her, and she picked it up and didn't have the lid screwed on, and it fell down, and it just hit at the right angle. Just like everything in the kitchen got splattered. All the light fixtures, like outside, inside. Our brand new white, you know, curtains and draperies, blinds. Oh, just over. It just like hit the right angle, just like everything. And this salsa, it's like tiny little minced onions, so just little pieces of onion everywhere and on the roof, on the floor. And she almost yelled at me because she almost thought that I left it out and that I didn't screw it on, but it was actually her. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. There's a song. She wanted to... Anyways, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That's all good. We're moving on. We're all going to set a date to celebrate. Set a date to celebrate. If you don't learn to celebrate God's goodness, There's a whole sermon going on the front row here from Pastor Heather. I don't know if I should allow her up here to take the offering. I might pull the husband as the head of the wife card, and you can just remain seated. Oh, man. Set a date to celebrate. Nehemiah 8, verse 9 and 10. It says, Nehemiah was the governor. This is after they had gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. Nehemiah was the governor. Ezra was the priest and scribe. And the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." They hadn't been able to read the Bible for decades. They never heard Genesis, Exodus. They never heard these things. They never heard Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. They've never heard these things. They never heard the Psalms of David, the Proverbs of Solomon. They were hearing these things for the first time, and as they heard it, they began to weep. And verse 10, he said to them something really powerful: go your way. He said, move forward, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Go to Chipotle, go get some dessert, eat the fat, drink the sweet. For those people who can't afford Chipotle or a tuxedo cake from Costco, send portions to them. There's actually something very powerful about this. You might feel like you're in a mourning season, but you need to keep giving. Do not dry up. Do not stop giving. Keep giving. That is one of the best things you can do through a tough season, is to keep giving. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Why was that day holy to the Lord? Because they said it. They set the date. This day is holy. This day we're going to celebrate. We're setting a date to celebrate. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is how you celebrate. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, give, and remember that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And lastly, get your joy back. This is a word for several people listening to this message right now. Get your joy back. The devil is a thief. The number one thing the devil wants to steal from a believer is their joy, because that is your strength. You need strength to do everything that God has called you to do. You might be weak, but you need the strength of the Lord, and that is found in his joy. You might be a fool, but strength is found, wisdom is found in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Don't let the devil steal, kill, and destroy your joy. Get your joy back. I am getting my joy back. I am getting that abundant joy of Jesus back. And I'm getting it back with interest. You might thought you had some good seasons. You might think you're facing some tough things right now. I'm coming back into a season of joy. And this is going to be my greatest season. The devil is going to have to pay interest on that joy he tried to steal. He's going to have to pay 700% interest on the joy he tried to steal from me. I am getting it back seven times over. If the thief be found, he shall restore seven times. And as I'm going ahead, and as I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I am going to those wells of salvation. I'm going to that well full of life, that well full of righteousness, full of peace, full of healing, full of abundance, and I am going to those wells that my Father has dug for me. You know, that Samaritan woman that Jesus preached to said, Our father Jacob built this well. There is a well that your father in heaven built for you, a well of salvation, a well that has water that springs up.
Yeah.
It's an abundant well. But he said, when you go to that well, go there with joy. I'm taking a big bucket of joy to have myself a drink. Let's read one last verse, Isaiah 12. The last verse before my good thing comes up here and preaches to me. Isaiah 12, verse 1, and in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. This is a prophetic word for each and every one of you right now. You're going to get to this day and say, O Lord, I will praise you, though I thought you were angry with me. Your anger, it is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, he is my strength. He is my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that Samaritan woman, she had a jug when she came to that well, but she dropped it. Everything that she was clinging onto, she just dropped it. Why'd she drop that? She had a better jug.
Amen.
She had a jug full of joy. She knew that she was going to be drinking from the wells of eternal life. So in conclusion, set a date to celebrate. It could be today. It can be tonight. It can be tomorrow morning. You can mark it however you want. You can mark it with eating the fat, drinking the sweet, giving. Set a date to celebrate. Why? Because his favor is for life. Keep looking ahead. When you look ahead, you're going to see an incredible shining light on the horizon that just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. I know that right now I can taste and see God's goodness, and I have supernatural joy. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.